Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Okay, the prayer of faith from James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18 this time. Cut out two verses. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So, this morning I'd like to consider healing. I don't even know, probably you do. I've had cancer for just over, it was discovered just over 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I want to tell you a story. It's not me in the story, and I've changed the names. It's a true story, but I've changed the names of the people in the story. So it is true. It's based on fact. It's about a couple called Roy and Beverly, and another couple called Jeremy and his wife. I don't think I named his wife. But that, as I said, that's not their real names, but that's the names in the story I'm going to read. We would like to come and pray for you. Is that something you would like? Beverly said. Jeremy, their friends for 20 years, had been diagnosed with late stage cancer. He was still in his 40s and was previously in good health. So the diagnosis came as a shock. It had always been someone else getting the cancer, and suddenly it was him. He had attended church since being a child and had spoken about the Christian faith, although not at great length, and it never really made it clear whether he made a full commitment. But they did know that about his belief in the power of prayer. His belief in the power of prayer and asking the Saviour for healing. So still they were unsure if he would accept their offer. When Beverly asked about coming to pray, however, he was keen that they come. Their church would regularly pray for healing when asked. If a church member was ill, they could ask the elders to come, just as in James 5, as I read, recommends. Roy and Beverly had joined with the other elders a number of times to spend time with the unwell person praying, sometimes for serious and sometimes for less serious medical conditions. The situation with Jeremy was unusual in that he was not in the congregation of their church, but in another church. But their elders were still happy to come to visit him, although he wasn't a member of their church. When they knocked on Jeremy's door, they were greeted by his two older children and some of his colleagues he'd invited. Roy told Jeremy that praying to God is a request you make in faith and not a secret formula. Not a command or a way to blackmail God into doing something against his will. Roy went on to say that knowing God's love meant he cares dearly for us. He also reminded Jeremy of chapter 55, verse 8, which says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Roy then asked about the place of God in Jeremy's life. Jeremy said the report from the doctor and probable prognosis, that means the way the disease is likely to go, had come as a great shock, but he now felt a special closeness with Jesus that he'd never felt before. He was so grateful to his wife, who had been such a wonderful support to him, taking care of the practical issues, getting him to hospital appointments, and being with him when the doubts and worries came rushing in upon him. It was impressive how his wife had been, knowing Jeremy and his wife had not always been on the best of terms. Sometimes they'd shed tears and not talking to each other for a whole period of time. Maybe through this illness, God was working on restoring their marriage too. Roy took out a small bottle with some olive oil in it. He said the verse he spoke of earlier from James, saying that the sick person should be anointed with oil when the elders pray for him. Oil in the Bible represents God's blessing, health and happiness. Jeremy was happy with this, and just a tiny, tiny drop was used. Beverly said anyone could stay silent in the group, but those who wanted to pray could. But to pray loud enough for everyone to hear, and to just use everyday language in their request to God, and that religious phrases and long, sorrowful pleadings were not required in talking to God. They all grouped around Jeremy, some reaching out to him and touching his sleeve or his jacket, with one hand, while raising the other one as they prayed. Some people stood a little further back. The oil left a faint, tiny, shiny cross on Jeremy's forehead where Roy put the oil. The prayers included thanking Jesus for coming close to Jeremy at this difficult time, for his goodness and how he'd always blessed Jeremy in his day-to-day life, his work, and for the blessing of his wife and children. While understanding the seriousness of Jeremy's condition and the limitations of medical treatment, they knew Jeremy was now in God's loving, caring hands. With the knowledge that this illness was not God's will, they prayed in faith for his healing. While God sometimes heals and sometimes not, has never been explained. But they were sure of God's ability to heal, his closeness in the difficult hours, and his unending care during this testing time in their lives. Then it was time for tea, coffee, and some biscuits, while they offered their sympathy and encouragement. Praying for healing and sickness. When God created a man and a woman, they were complete, body, soul, and spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And God cares about our physical bodies, not just our spiritual side. Well, he's the one who made our bodies. He cares about our health, the health of our bodies, and he knows and cares when we are unwell. There are physical causes of illness that require physical treatment. On the 20th of July 2009, Pastor Johnny G had a serious accident, breaking many bones in his body. We get other injuries and infections. Both Jackie and I had COVID-19 last year, but lifestyle, meaning what and how much we put into our bodies, whether it be food, drink, drugs, smoke, and the amount of exercise we do, can all affect our health. Stress at work or in our relationships can affect us emotionally and physically too. However, as we read in James, another factor may be sin, which may come from lifestyle choices or the relationships we make. Or we may be influenced by the devil, Satan. For example, in Acts 10:38, when Peter told Cornelius about Jesus, he described how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. It's very important to note that James does not say straight out that sin causes illness. He very carefully wrote in James chapter 5, verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So James writes, if the sick person has sinned. So anyone can be sick and not have an issue with they have to deal with sin. We cannot assume any sickness is due to sin, but must remember it's always a possibility. For example, in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, it says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus says the man's blindness was not caused by sin. In the same way, sin did not cause Jairus' health issues or his other troubles. In James 5:15, again, it brings us in mind another question many people ask. Does prayer, particularly a prayer with enough strong faith, always bring healing? We've already seen that answered prayers can be blocked by sin. In James chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, Paul tells us, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest with me.'" His thorn in the flesh, whatever that was, we don't know, was not healed, and I do not believe Paul had any possible lack of faith. Some people say, wrongly I believe, that we should, after being prayed for, show our faith by behaving as if we have been healed, although the symptoms remain. But I cannot find that anywhere in the New Testament. When Jesus healed the paralytic in Mark chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Would that have happened if he was still lying there paralyzed on the floor? I don't think so. Jesus healed the Gerasene demoniac, the guy with the demons, in Mark 5:15. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. I do not believe if the symptoms remain, we're healed. The diabetic should continue taking insulin, and the patient with a broken leg should leave on the cast. If you take your car to the garage with a strange engine noise, you would not expect to hear it after the mechanic has fixed the problem. This leaves us with an enormous question, the biggest question of all maybe. Why doesn't God always heal us? We believe God is the creator and ruler of the world. However, it is obvious from scripture and our own experience that everyone, whether they're good people or bad, Christian or non-Christian, having faith or having fear, will in the end die. So obviously healing doesn't always happen. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, "The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." Well, what does that mean? Firstly, James is saying in this verse and in the following ones that we should pray. We should always pray. Secondly, that God can and does heal. Thirdly, that God hears and takes account of our prayers. And fourthly, it is God who raises up the sick person, not us healing them by our prayers. There's an instruction in James chapter 5, verse 14, which says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord." So what does anoint in the name of the Lord mean? It's not a religious phrase we say to make things happen or to make God act. It means acting on the authority of the Lord. Where I work, we have authority from Her Majesty's Treasury to spend a certain amount of money on specific things. We do not have independent authority to spend however much we like on whatever we like. So when we pray for healing, we must always consider the will of God in the matter. We know that it is God's will for us to be healthy people, whole in body, soul, and spirit. But we must not assume we know God's total will in every situation. James strongly warns us against this, for the rich person, for example. In James 1:10 it says, "But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower." We shouldn't presume God's will. And the example for teachers, not many of you should become teachers. My fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly, we all stumble in many ways. And James is also giving an example for merchants in James 4:13-17, people who do business. "Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money.' Why, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil, for anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them." And then he speaks to the wealthy people, the people with land, James 5:1-6. "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that's coming to you. Your wealth is rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. The corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. So please be careful." James' warning about our pride must be remembered. We don't know the total will of God, and we shouldn't presume we do. We shouldn't presume that we can work out or understand or use logic or our minds to work out how God thinks. We should just be faithfully trusting Him, especially in our prayers. We must be humble in seeking the will of God, so that we ask in confidence that God's will is done. Then we leave it to God to do His will as and when it pleases Him. So to finish the story I started, Jeremy still has his ups and downs, emotionally, physically and spiritually. The church members continue to call on him, to pray for him, visit him and for him. In all this they held to their faith in God's love, grace and mercy, now and forever. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Groveville Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.